This morning, I want to read from Matthew's Gospel again. The lectionary has had us reading along in the last three Sundays. I have been reading from the 10th chapter. It is in Matthew's Gospel called the Missionary Discourse. It is a long speech or collection of sayings that Jesus gave to his disciples. Once he had begun his ministry, he called the 12 together, gave them specific instructions, and then sent them into the world to expand his own mission. It's not an easy mission, and if you haven't read through all of chapter 10, I encourage you to do so. What we read today is the very last piece. After Jesus has given them instructions, proclaim the kingdom of heaven has come near, raise the dead, heal the leper, restore sight to the blind, all tough things. Then at the very end, Jesus gives them this encouragement. Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 40. He says to them and to us, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I was in Home Depot in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, a couple of weeks ago, helping our oldest daughter move. And so she had sent me on an errand to get some picture hanging hardware and some painting supplies. So I wandered in with my mask, shorts, a Montreat t-shirt on, and I was wandering around this giant home improvement store, not having much luck finding what I was looking for, when I spied a store employee. So I zeroed in on him, and he turned to look at me. He took one look at me, and he said, "Montreat!" And he pointed at the word Montreat on my t-shirt. He said, "I grew up in Black Mountain. I know Montreat." And because my husband Eric also grew up in Montreat, I know the high school there. I said, "So are you an Owen High School warhorse?" To which he said, "Yes, and you?" And I said, "No, Seneca High School Bobcat, but I'm married to a Owen High School warhorse." And so then we were just off comparing who we knew, sharing stories about Black Mountain and Montreat and how it was that we had come to find ourselves a long way from the cool breezes of the mountains of North Carolina in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. The young man was very helpful and walked me over most of that store, helped me find exactly what I was looking for. Now, if you have been in South Carolina more than even just a couple of weeks, you know that we live in a very small state. And as I say, we're all related by blood or legend. And it doesn't happen only in South Carolina, but we are really good here in South Carolina at figuring out how we are related to each other. Where were you born? Who are your people? Where'd you go to school? We recognize our tribe by stickers that they have on their car, their accents, maybe even what's printed on their t-shirts. And when we recognize that we have something in common, then the quality of the encounter changes. Now, as I said, over the last 3 weeks, I've been reading in preparation for Sundays and also myself from this Matthew's Gospel Missionary Discourse, the chapters where Jesus instructs and then sends into the world his 12 apostles into the Jewish countryside with very specific instructions. He says, proclaim the good news, tell them that the kingdom of heaven has come near, and then you are to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Not exactly an easy job description. He sends them out into the Jewish countryside on a mission to bring good news to bad news. Whatever form that bad news takes, the apostles are to bring good news to it. And they are to do so, if you read that chapter, without expecting payment, but expecting that what they say and how they live will not be welcomed everywhere. Jesus tells them to expect rejection, expect suffering, expect there to be conflict as you go about doing what I've told you to do. But they're to go anyway, he says, in a spirit of compassion and courage, speaking the truth that Jesus has told them to speak to everybody who will receive them. And then right here before he sends the disciples, the apostles out, right before they leave, Jesus gives them what amounts to this letter of recommendation. He says, all right, before I send you out, know this, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the God who sent me. When I send you out and somebody welcomes you, they will receive the rewards of that hospitality. Even if somebody does something as small as give you a cup of cold water, they will be rewarded. Now, probably in this age in which Jesus speaks these words, there are no travel cards, there are no hotel rewards points. So maybe it's true that having a letter of recommendation or introduction was more important. Back in the day, you showed up in a strange place, and where you stayed that night was not dependent on having a AAA card or a Marriott rewards points card. Where one stayed when you traveled, what one ate when one traveled depended on the hospitality of those who were willing to receive and host the stranger. And so a letter of recommendation and introduction could mean the difference between life and death, safety and not. Hospitality, it turns out all throughout Scripture, is a big theme and a dearly held value. And for those who want to know God, Jesus says, hospitality turns out to be a life and death matter in an eternal sense. As Christians, we are to welcome those that God sends to us. We welcome them because God sent them to us, not because we know Montreat, not because they went to the same college as we went to, not because they knew our family when we were growing up. As Christians, we welcome those whom God sends, whether they are like us or not, because they also are known and loved by God. The hairs on their heads are counted just like the hairs on our heads are counted. So, a spirit of radical hospitality becomes both a comfort when we go out into the world to do God's work, but a spirit of Christian radical hospitality also becomes a challenge to us to receive those who come into our lives as if we are receiving Christ himself. So I guess it would be appropriate to ask, so how do I know who God has sent? How am I supposed to know which ones I'm supposed to welcome? Well, in Matthew's gospel, one very clear marker is that those who Jesus sends are sent to bring good news to bad news. So, and to tell us that the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, it'd be easy to welcome and to host those who bring us good news, but that's not all that Scripture says. Scripture as a whole is also very clear that God sends us the poor, the needy, the vulnerable, and the weak. Christians are to watch that we don't overlook those in need in the extension of our hospitality. If you keep reading on in Matthew's gospel, you get to the 25th chapter of Matthew, and there is this story about the end of time. And the story goes this way. Jesus stands with a crowd of people and divides them into two groups. And to one group he says, "Blessed are you by my Father. Come and inherit the kingdom of heaven. Because I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was in prison and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. And to the other group, Jesus says, now you depart. You go to eternal condemnation because I was hungry, thirsty, sick, naked, and in prison, and you did nothing. Now, the interesting thing about both of those groups in the story in the 25th chapter of Matthew is that they both respond, one to blessing and one to condemnation, with the exact same question. They look at Jesus and they say, Lord, when? When did we see you hungry, thirsty, naked, in prison, sick? When? And Jesus says, how we receive the least of these is how we receive God. Radical Christian hospitality is a matter of eternity. And it occurred to me that might be a really important thing for we Christians to remember as we move further and further into the fall, when we become more and more tempted to pronounce condemnation on somebody from a different party or a different nation. Jesus doesn't want us to be caught off guard. Those who love God, who receive God, are those who go into the world to bring good news to bad news, and they are those who are marked by radical hospitality, compassion, and courage. So we can't say we didn't know it. This is one key place where it seems to me that our culture and our faith are diverging, are going in very different directions. And for people of faith, the call is to decide which one of those paths is true. In this uncertain and polarized time, we are often tempted to fear the stranger and to welcome only those who are just like us. Our Lord tells us that instead we are to welcome the stranger and to offer hospitality and compassion, even when we know it will cost us, even if we fear we may suffer for it. It's easy to qualify this call to mission and compassion and hospitality, but I think we should be careful not to justify our own fears and prejudices under the guise of reason. For example, it's very easy from a safe distance to form opinions about the poor, to form opinions about the homeless and what they should be doing, to form opinions about the immigrant. Until we actually receive and know someone in that category, until we receive them in a spirit of compassion and hospitality as a child of God. I mean, do we actually know any poor people? Do we actually know any immigrants? Have we received any homeless in a spirit of radical hospitality and compassion? Do we know individuals, and have we received them in hospitality, these groups we say we fear or we hate? Some years ago now, a couple showed up here at Forest Lake Presbyterian Church, and it was really clear from the moment they walked in that they were not from around here. But when Donald Akah introduced himself to me the first time I met him, what he told me was, I am a Christian who grew up in a Presbyterian church in Cameroon, Africa. And this is my wife, Giselle. And then over time, as this congregation welcomed Donald and Giselle Akah, we also welcomed two children, awesome and precious. And then we welcomed Giselle's mom, Emerencia Tingu. And to this congregation's credit, you welcomed the whole Akah Tingu family, despite the cultural differences, despite the different accents They expressed dismay that we didn't sing like they sang in the church in Cameroon, but we all worshiped together. And then a member of this congregation helped them buy a home. Another member of this congregation, who was an English as a second language teacher, became an English conversation partner with Emerencia. A member of this congregation taught Donald and Giselle to swim. When they came to us, Giselle had become a citizen of the United States, and Donald, not too long ago, became a citizen himself. And once he did that, he joined the Army National Guard. He went first to Fort Jackson for basic training, and that's when the pandemic hit. And so he has been gone from his family since early February and unable to see them at all. He left Fort Jackson and went for training in logistics in Virginia. And I had texted Donald a couple of times to try and keep touch and see how he was doing. And so the staff at church decided to send Donald a care package. We sent him a mask. It was a cool Batman material mask that Lillian Dennis had made. We sent him a study Bible. We sent him some devotional materials. And we told Donald that we had started to live stream our worship at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning so that even if he was in Virginia, he could join us. So I hope and pray that Donald's able to live stream worship with us while he's still in Virginia. He's scheduled to come home next week where he'll see his family for the first time since early February. But when Donald got the care package that we sent him, he sent me a text that I have saved. And with his permission, I'd like to share just a portion of that text. Donald sent me this message. He said, "I received the package you sent to me. I really like the study Bible. The devotional books will also guide me to study the Bible. My drill sergeant likes the mask and tried to get it, but I couldn't give it to him because I like it too, and better still, it's a gift. I received the card from the staff of the church and was glad to know they are praying for me. Extend a word of appreciation to all of them on my behalf." And then he texted me this: "May the Almighty God give you strength and wisdom to continue to touch lives and win more souls to Christ. My family and I love you and Forest Lake Presbyterian Church because you treat us with so much love. God bless you." You might say that Forest Lake Presbyterian Church loved and received the Aka Tingu family with Christian hospitality. But I would also say that through the Aka Tingu family, we have received hospitality and encouragement and grace and love. They took a big risk on us. The first Sunday they walked in here, there was clearly nobody else from Cameroon worshiping here. But what they had and what we had in common was a letter of recommendation, an introduction from Jesus, welcoming each other with compassion and courage. That's just how we practice on a day-to-day basis so that we will be ready to welcome God. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward."